Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by John Herman, rate strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, May 20th, 2020. Listeners may recall an episode last week where Washington, D.C. Representative Office's Jesse Wheeler discussed prospective additional fiscal stimulus. In this episode, John builds on that analysis by exploring recent comments from Fed Chair Powell and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin on the subject. He also explores the outlook for the U.S. economy and investment implications of the various ways this all plays out. Welcome, John. Earlier this week, Fed Chair Powell testified before the Senate Banking Committee. Put simply, what did he say and what were the key takeaways?
Okay, John. So, we're in one of these, another one of these pivotal times, but we're just going to state at the outset that, Chair Powell's view and stance continues to be very activist and very aggressive in combating the COVID-19 pandemic. And we wholeheartedly embrace his method, his characterization of the risks, and his policy stance and endorsements. And so we're going to just delineate that right now. So again, as Chair Powell summarized, he said, look, over the decline that we've had in economic activity, it's the worst that we've seen in 80 years. In our models, we have output down 46% in the second quarter alone. Our models are showing inflation, as Chair Powell said, is low, but ours is showing it's only 50 basis points by year-on-year core inflation, 50 basis points by mid-end of summer. The unemployment rate, as the Labor Department reported, yes, is 14.7%, but as the Labor Department noted, said if the people were classified appropriately, Current unemployment rate is actually 19.5%, very close to our estimate, and we have it drifting up to 22%. This unemployment rate, same unemployment rate, it peaked in 1933 in the Great Depression at 24%. So we're very close to that. So the economy is more, even though we're reopening, the economy is really on, I would say, kind of nervous ground. So as Chair Powell also noted, I thought it was very interesting, he said, economies and recessions of this form can potentially cast a very long shadow over unemployment, over households, and over businesses. And by that he meant there could be, further carry-on of household insolvencies, short stulting of household careers. It could be very destabilizing to some communities in America, and then it spreads through the economy. For businesses, it could result in significant insolvencies. Beyond that, as we know, small business formation is tricky and not something that you can just turn on automatically like a faucet. And it could take quite a bit of time to replace these lost companies. That could in turn impede things like technological advancement, labor productivity growth, long-term income potentials. So these knock-on effects are very, very significant. Chair Powell, in his efforts so far, has expanded his balance sheet by just about $2.8 trillion as of last week, Wednesday. So it's about $2.7, $2.8 trillion, very, very substantial expansion. But the bottom line is, he keeps noting, he said, look, we all are in this together. We're trying to roll out solutions to address the COVID-19 pandemic. We're hopeful about, vaccines and treatments and therapies. We're hopeful, but the answer right now is unknowable over the timing and the scope of these solutions. So we have to conduct policy today as though, the solution may, take some time and longer than all of us are hoping. So we, again, very much agree with Chair Powell's assessment.
Thank you, John. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin testified to that same committee. He had a bit of a different take. I thought Powell and Mnuchin were on the same page. What happened?
It was what a swing of events. Back in mid-March, early April, these two guys, they just seemed like, they were walking around buddies, but now obviously not. So again, the Fed has expanded a balance sheet by $2.8 trillion. The federal government has done, in terms of fiscal support, about $2.9 trillion through the end of last week. So almost on par. So, and to Mr. Mnuchin's credit, he said, look, We've rolled out fiscal support to households, small and large businesses, to healthcare providers, state and local governments. We've done the fastest and strongest and largest response of any to any such crisis since the end of World War II. Again, noteworthy, and we recognize that. And he said, look, and he said, as we reopen this economy, the pace of activity is going to really rebound and turn around. And he said, we're already seeing some signs of early indications of that already in the last couple of weeks. And we, true, we agree with that. But he said, look, you know, lastly, he said, so this economy, while we might significantly slow in the second quarter, we're poised to rebound very strongly in the third quarter. And again, that's not too dissimilar from our forecast. And so he said, you know, it looks from their standpoint like it's going to be a V-shaped recovery. And that, I think, is where the difference lies, because Mnuchin is suggesting that, you know, by the end of the year or early part of next year or by the spring next year, this economy could be fully and completely recovered in a perfect V-shape, with, you know, GDP back to where it was in the fourth quarter of 2019, the unemployment rate pretty close to where it was and at that time, the labor force participation rate. And that's the and that's where he really differs from all of the economists, you know, on the FOMC. So we also agree with the FOMC in this particular instance. So we don't see the economy fully recovering and for another couple of years. It could be not until 2022 or even longer. So we worry.
Thanks, Sean. That's helpful. As readers of your research know, you've been an advocate of aggressive response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Which of these different visions is likely to play out, and what does that mean for the U.S. economy and the shape of the yield curve?
So what I think, and this ties in a little bit with Jesse's comments last week, what I think is going to happen is, you know, there's going to be some compromises. You know, the Democrats are reaching for $3 trillion in stimulus spending and so on. That includes, you know, many things not, you know, directly related to the COVID crisis. And so there'll be pushback on the Republican side. But what we think is going to play out is you probably, you know, we've commented before, there are many programs that sunset as of September of this year. And companies have already, large companies, very important, like United Airlines, have already announced their intention to lay off people in October, once October 1st is realized, once the provisions, the legal provisions of these loans and these grants and so on, you know, sunset in September. So we know that there's struggles coming, number one. Number two, state and local governments, we know struggles are coming there as well, because there's just been a significant shortfall in terms of income, you know, income tax collections. There's been shortfalls in terms of sales tax collections and everything else, you know, taxes on gasoline, you name it. I mean, it's just been tremendous shortfalls. And so there's going to be a price to pay in terms of the employment and the employment recovery in the government sector beyond the household sector. The other thing we'd note is, you know, we've lost 21 million, 22 million jobs already. We think, you know, upwards of 4 to 5, maybe even 6 million of those jobs might be even permanently lost. So we're deeply troubled by this. Beyond that, again, as we keep highlighting about the participation rate, the labor force participation rate last, you know, 20 years ago, this thing peaked at around 66.8%, tremendous peak. And currently we're at 60.2%. So that's a 10% decline in the labor force participation rate. And it fits with the underlying growth potential in the economy being slashed from 3.4% previous decades down to just 2% last decade. And it might be lower this coming decade, where our models say it might be only 1.5% on average this decade. So we are deeply, deeply concerned about this. And we are actually emboldened and enheartened by the fact that the Fed now appears to be picking up a lot of the concerns that we have. So we're just going to add one or two little points. Remember, as we've talked about on this labor force, when there is these loss of jobs and these people are pushed out, you know, ultimately they give up, they quit, and they exit the labor force, there is, you know, tremendous suffering that goes on, you know, beyond just the economic downturn. There's a, you know, there's a this, as Chair Powell, there's this persistent loss of connection to the workplace, you know, household and business insolvency spike, Last recession in 2008, we saw 1 out of 8 mortgages go into default. We hope there's nothing close to that this time. There's a tremendous loss of household wealth. The research that comes out of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, they're focusing on the children in these families, and they say, and their research is showing the children who are part of those families, they're sick more often than average kids. They miss school on average more than other kids. Their homework assignments are delinquent and missed more often. Their exam scores are significantly lower. Their educational attainment overall, their lifetime, is significantly lower. So there's just a tremendous adverse impact way beyond just, oh, you know, we lost a few jobs. You know, a couple of businesses had to shut down. Some companies had to reduce their footprint. The pain is spread deeply through generations. So this is a once in a, you know, 100-year flood kind of thing. And I think Chair Powell's right by saying you have to just backstop this economy as strong as you can and just hope that the scientific community comes with breakthroughs sooner, not later. And then we can just all get on the path to, as Chair Powell says, if you can accelerate and grow faster, the economy faster than the actual growth of the debt, then you can pay down the debt. So it's a beautiful thought. We'll end with that. We're hopeful, but we're very realistic. So from our standpoint, all this extra debt for us means that this yield curve from 2s through 30s probably going to be steeper, you know, over the near and intermediate term as we go forward.
That's great analysis. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.